Now, there are probably some keen-eyed observers that have recognized that I'm holding some chocolates. I thought, as I'm going to be talking about memorization today, I thought we might start off with a little bit of a game. And what better way to test memory verses than by handing out chocolates? Now, to even things out a little bit, I'm going to make Gavin into my runner so that he is not going to be part of this. But I want to just ask, first off, hands up if you think you could recite a verse from memory. No phones, no Bible, but you can recite a verse. All right, Gavin, pick somebody. This is the other reason I'm making Gavin do it. It's the blue mic.
Maybe, oh, there we go.
There we go.
All right. Gave you extra thinking time. All right. What do you got?
Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path.
Awesome. Well done.
Hey, Luke, do you want to open these chocolates for me? Don't take any. Just open the pack. No, all right. Go for it.
So you get one chocolate. All right. Next, we're going to make things a little bit harder. I'm going to put up a verse reference on the screen. If you know it, if you know what the verse says, I want you to put up your hand. Gavin's going to come to you. And just so you don't cheat, it's not going to be on the back screen either because I put an extra one in there. So the first one is John 3:16.
I love that your hand went up before. I felt like the reference even went up, Soph. You're like, I know all the Bible. What is it?
For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Awesome. Well done.
All right.
All right. So, yep, we've got John 3:16, a very famous verse, one that most people memorize. Our next one, if you've been listening, Psalm 119, verse 105.
Oh. Should I just give him the chocolate?
Because it's whether or not they can remember.
All right. You go for it.
Thy word is a lamp on my feet and a light unto my path.
Yes, all right, well done. Okay, next one. 2 Timothy chapter 3, ooh, verses 16 to 17.
Amping it up now. Oh, Florette. No competition. All right. I'll just sit next to you, Florette. Let's do this. What do you got?
All scripture is God-breathed and is for correction, teaching us in righteousness, and that if a man that studies that will be equipped for everything. Yes.
that's great. Pretty good. Well done, Florette.
Fantastic.
All right, so we've got our last one now. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, somebody other than Florette. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
Anyone would give it. I mean, the thing is, you could go for the wrong verse, but everyone would still be encouraged. All right. Oh. All right, here we go. Love it. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. No, I love it. I think it's going to be great regardless. Okay.
Going with the theme. So the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Is that it?
Can you remember the next little bit?
Come on, come on.
No. You still get the chocolate, but I'm just saying. Well done. So it is, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Well done, Anna. Now, after the service, there will be opportunities if you can come find me, if you can recite a verse without reading it off your phone directly where I am. Whether you look at it beforehand and then do it, that's fine. As long as I have chocolates left, I will give out more chocolates. But today, we are picking up our spiritual discipline series. And we've been looking at this series throughout the course of the year, and the main idea of spiritual disciplines, it sounds really hard and it sounds really scary, but the main idea of these are they are simple actions that we can do to intentionally shift our attention. And for a lot of them, we shift our attention to focus on God. So silence and solitude are about creating space to hear from God. Prayer is about choosing to focus our attention on Him. Last week, Tim P.S. was unpacking the discipline of disciple making, choosing to look at our conversations and our relationships with people intentionally for sharing about who Jesus is, to look for where God is at work. And today I want to look at two disciplines, Bible study and memorization. But I'm also aware, partly also from what we just did, but these disciplines are probably some of the first things we're introduced to as we become Christians, as we choose to follow Jesus, as we're introduced to church. And yet there are also disciplines that a lot of us feel a lot of guilt over. I put those two words up there and people are like, oh yeah, I used to have a habit of reading the Bible, but it's kind of dropped off a little bit. Oh yeah, I'm no good at memorizing things. Like I can never remember all the words. And maybe you are there in that game just looking, oh man, I can't do this. Sometimes we can have a look at these disciplines and it can become a bit of a guilt trip. And that is not what I want today to be. Instead, my hope is that today is an invitation to recognize that maybe I could restart a habit that I've lost. Maybe today is a chance to try something new. Maybe today is a chance to just look and see things from a new perspective. Not about guilt, but instead it's an invitation. And so today I want to kind of follow the same format that I have for a lot of the spiritual disciplines and look at what these are, why we should do them, how do we do it, and then ask you the question, so what are you going to do about it? And so what are these disciplines? Well, quite simply, Bible study is choosing to look deeper than the surface level. It's choosing to engage with the Bible, with Scripture, as more than just words on a page, but choosing to ask the question, what does this mean for me? And there's lots of different ways that it could look like. It might look like reading a commentary, as somebody else has done the hard work of looking at what a passage might mean. But just engaging with that, you're looking deeper. You're engaging with Scripture and you're looking for how it applies. It might be choosing to read a passage in a couple of different translations, seeing what stands out, seeing what pops out to you. It might be choosing to ask questions about what does this mean? How does this apply to me? And it might be using various tools for Bible study. And so Bible study, all it is choosing to look deeper, choosing to look beyond just the text, to see it as more than just words on a page. And memorization is just remembering. It's about intentionally putting effort in to focus on and put brain space towards Scripture. I mean, if you were somebody who grew up in Sunday school, you probably remember Bible study. There was a conversation I had this week with somebody who remembered having to memorize a whole chapter. That's beyond my level. But memorization is simply storing it inside us, remembering it so it is there for when we need it. And the reason that we're doing two is because both of these disciplines kind of have the same idea behind them. They kind of share a similar idea, and that is in both of these, we are choosing to intentionally focus on Scripture so that we can store it inside ourselves. When we study the Bible, we are intentionally focusing on it. We're going deeper. We're engaging with the text. In memorization, we are going over and over again, running these tracks in our minds so that we can remember it, so that we can hold on to it, so that we can bring it out in those times when we need it. But why Scripture? Why do we put this effort into memorizing Scripture? Why do we put effort into studying Scripture? Why not put effort into The Complete Idiot's Guide to What to Do in Life, which I'm sure would be a bestseller book? And so I want to look at this question of why. Why Scripture? And the first one is 2 Timothy, or the first one that I want to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. And it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is one of those verses, that key verses that a lot of people memorize. And if you're like me, you might memorize a lot of it, but kind of get confused a little bit with the four bits in the middle: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's hard to remember which order they go in. It's hard to remember exactly what words to use. But there's this foundational truth that we find in this verse. And that is, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Because the reason why we choose to engage with Scripture in this way, the reason why we do it, is because God is speaking to us through Scripture. Scripture is described as God-breathed. Other places it is described as the Word of God, because it is God speaking to us. God spoke to the people of Israel in Moses' time. God spoke to the early church. God spoke to the people of Israel during the kings. And God is speaking to us now. Now, there's a little bit of a caveat that I want to put in here, because one of the first lessons that you learn when you go to Bible study and how to apply the Bible is you're taught that the Bible was written to a particular group of people, or parts of the Bible were written to a particular group of people in a particular time, in a particular culture, in a particular context. It was written to them. But it is also for us. It is God speaking to those people then, but it is also a gift from God to us now. It is for us now. It is God engaging with us, communicating with us, helping us to understand who He is. Because the thing is, when somebody talks to you, the more you talk to them, the more you get to know them. The more that is revealed about who they are. The more that is revealed about what they're like. And as we read Scripture, as we read this gift that has come from God, we're informed of who God is. We're told about what kind of king He is. We're told about what His kingdom is like. We're told this is what He wants for us. We see that He is trustworthy. We see that He's true. And we see that this is something that we can hold on to and trust. See, one of the conversations I have with people all the time is, but I don't know what I'm meant to do in this situation. And while the Bible doesn't say, I didn't look at Scripture before I moved up here and went, and in his 33rd year, Ian will move from Devonport to Alice Springs. I didn't see that. But what I did learn from Scripture was ways of discerning who God is and ways of discerning what God's call is, that I could test. And I could see that moving here to Alice Springs was what He was calling me to do. Because God speaks, we get to know Him through it. And when there's somebody important speaking to you, most of the time, you want to pay attention. I say most of the time because we all have those times where we kind of tune out a little bit. The first reason why we want to store Scripture inside ourselves is because it is God speaking to us. Is Him giving us a gift and something for us to hold on to. The second passage is Hebrews 4, chapter 12 to 13. And it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Here once again we see it described as the Word of God. But then the author of Hebrews gives us these really fascinating images. He says it's alive and active. It is not dead. It is not just words on a page. It is living. It is active. It is relevant to our lives today. But more than that, it then describes it as a double-edged, or sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates. It cuts. It's a tool. Even dividing soul and spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really know what the difference between soul and spirit was. And I went down a little rabbit hole this week that taught me enough to go, I need more time to explore this. But as you keep going through that, it's joints and marrow. Again, it's these things that are so close together, so near that it can separate. And then it says it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. See, one of the things that is important for us to understand about Scripture is Scripture reveals who we are. Scripture cuts to the very core of our heart and it reveals who we are, whether that's good or not. And you're probably listening right now going, well, that doesn't seem like a great thing. Why do I really want to do that? That seems painful. That seems uncomfortable. I much like my blissful ignorance. And I can understand that. But there's something about Scripture and the way that it just cuts through all the defenses we put up. I don't know about you, but have you ever been reading the Bible and you've just gone, oh, God, why did you want to bring that up to me today? There's something that you read that just kind of cuts through your conscience, that cuts through the defenses that you put up, and it just lays you bare as you go, God, I don't want to deal with that. But God's like, no. We're going to deal with this. We're going to look at this. We're going to examine this. It reveals it. But also, have you ever been reading maybe the Psalms? And you see the psalmist crying out in pain or in joy, in celebration, whatever. And you go, they are the words that I needed to describe what was going on inside. They are the words that I couldn't work out what they were. And it names what you're feeling. It names what's going on inside you. It reveals to yourself what was happening inside, because it's hard to understand what goes on inside us at times. Or maybe it's as you read the Gospels or Paul's letters and you've got this situation going on in the back of your mind and you just read something and it's like a light turns on. And you go, that seems like a situation that's not what I'm dealing with at all, and yet that's the wisdom I needed. Because God's Word cuts through all the junk. It cuts through all the extra things and it cuts us right to the core to reveal what we need to hear. Because it's living and active. It is God speaking to us. One of my favorite stories about faith. Back in the early 2000s, there was two books written by Voice of the Martyrs and DC Talk called Jesus Freaks. And there were stories of faith. They were stories of powerful faith and incredible faith. But there was one story that I just always loved. It was set in the Middle East. It's a true story. A man was walking past a car one day with the car window down and he sees a wallet sitting on the front seat. So he quickly reaches his hand in, he grabs the wallet, he puts it in his jacket and he goes back to his house. And he goes back to his house and he pulls the wallet out to see what he's got. And it's a book. I don't want a book. He's about to throw it away when he goes, well, I've taken it. I may as well have a look at it. And he starts to read it. And there's something stirring inside him. And so he reads more and more and more until he's read a whole bunch of it. And there's something that has been happening inside him as he's been doing this, something that has been revealing what he's missing. He's like, I need to know if this is true. So he looks in the front of the book and he finds a name and an address and he goes and knocks on the door. And the door opens and before he can say a word, the person goes, hey, you found my Bible. Well, found, yes. He admits that he stole the Bible. But then he goes, look, before we do anything else, I just need to know, is this true? Is this real? And the guy invites him in and shares who Jesus is with him. What I love about that story is, for so many reasons, but that thief became a pastor of a church because God transformed his life. But what I love about it is it demonstrates the power of Scripture to cut to the very core. It reveals the power of Scripture to reveal the things that we are missing, the things that we are unsure of. It's not because it's a magical book. It's a book that highlights and lets us know what is going on inside, what we're missing, what we need. It is a revealer. The third passage that I want to look at for why we want to store Scripture inside is Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is one of those incredibly famous passages for the Jewish people. It's got the Shema prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That they would recite, or they still do recite, daily or a couple of times a day. But then it's got these really strange commandments. Like, some of them are normal. Teach your kids these commandments. That's fairly normal. Even talk about these things when you're going about life. That makes sense. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your gates and your houses. It seems really weird, and yet this is something that still happens in modern-day Israel. Back in 2018, I took these photos, which is why they're not great quality. But these things are called a mezuzah, which is completely easy to remember. But what they are little cases that hold a scroll within them. And the scrolls within them have the words of Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, the passage we just had on the screen, and Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21. And these two passages remind the people of Israel about who God is. And it reminds them of promises about who he is and what he's going to do for them. And these cases are a form of memorization. Because every time a Jew walks into the house, even today, they will touch their fingers to it. And they'll kiss their fingers. And as they do that, it is this symbol and this reminder, because as they touch it, they remember what is contained within the scrolls. They are reminded of the Scripture, and it is brought to mind, and they are reminded of who God is. They are reminded of God's promises for them. They are reminded of what God means. It's a symbol and a ritual of memorization. And binding them on your hands or your forehead, that's similar. The idea is it's called a phylactery or a telephim, which is a very bad pronunciation, but we'll go with it. But as you go about life, think about it. If you've got this box on your head that's got Scripture, as you go to wipe the sweat away, and you bump the box, you're reminded, hey, I've got this thing up here. And you're reminded of what's within it. You're reminded of the things that are inside. As you hand money over at the shop for your Hungry Jacks or your Maccas, you see your phylactery, or you see the shopkeepers, and you're reminded, this is who God is. This is who we are as his people. You are reminded of the scriptures. Because what Deuteronomy 6 is trying to tell us is we store scripture inside so that we are ready for life. So that we are reminded about it in all the things that happen. Because the thing about scripture is it's not just for Sunday. It's not just for the person who is up the front preaching on it and you look at it and go, great, I'm done for a week. Scripture's not even just for that morning or evening devotion that turns into a bit of a ritual where you just kind of do it and then it's done. Scripture, the Bible, is for life. We store it inside ourselves so that we have it ready when we need it. So when situations happen, God's Spirit can actually bring it up out of us, can remind us of the truth that we've heard. That's why the Jews have those mezuzahs. Every time they leave the house, every time they enter a house, every time they go to a hotel, it is there, reminding them of who God is. It's reminding them of the people that they are, of what God has done, and all these things. That Deuteronomy passage talked about teach these commandments to your kids. Talk about them when you're on the road and when you're at home. Talk about when you lie down and when you get up. Basically, connect scripture to life. Connect scripture to all the things that are going on around you because it is wisdom for life. It is meant to be more than just a Sunday or a devotion or something. And when we store it inside, we're preparing ourselves for when we go through hard times. Because I know that God has brought verses to mind when I need it, reminded me of truth, given me hope when I need it. But also there are some times that you sit with somebody and you hear their story, and you're like, I don't know how to respond. God, give me words. Give me wisdom. And there's truth from Scripture that comes up. And sometimes that truth is to be shared. And sometimes that truth is a reminder that Job's friends just sat with him in silence for a couple of days. And that's okay. We store these things inside so that it can be brought out when we need it for us or for others. This is why when we do God's stories, we talk about inspiration. Where has God reminded you of an important truth? Where has God brought those verses, that truth up out of what you've stored inside? Because when we store it inside, it doesn't just disappear. It's waiting for God to use it. And so Bible study and memorization. We do it because it's the words of God. We do it because it reveals. We do it because it's for life. But how do we actually do it? How do we engage? Well, as I said at the start, these disciplines are all about choosing to intentionally focus on Scripture. Give space and attention to it so that we can store it inside. And while Bible study may give you flashbacks to grade 12 and studying Shakespeare and exams and all that sort of stuff, that's not what this kind of study is. Instead, it is about just engaging with the text. And so a really easy way of doing Bible study is soap. I personally think everybody should use soap every day. I couldn't help but do that one. But soap is really easy. It is Bible study. Each of the letters of soap stands for something. So the first is Scripture. Choose a passage to read, to think about. And then O, observation. What do you notice in the passage? What do you see happening? Who are the people involved? What's going on? What are all the things that you can see, that you can observe? And then A is application. What does this mean? Is there an example that I'm meant to follow from this? Is there something that I'm meant to do? is there an example that I'm not meant to follow from this? And then the P is prayer. Take the opportunity to actually sit before God and to give Him these things. This would take 5 or 10 minutes, but it engages with Scripture. It forces you to think about it at a deeper level than just reading the words. But I've actually got some handouts that are available for after the service on the table that have got some ways of doing Bible study. Or maybe if you're not quite sure where to start, there is a reading plan that will take you through the meta-narrative of Scripture. I want to encourage you to take it. I'll be sending it out with Monday Reflections as well, but try something new. Engage with these things. Some of them, I've got soap on there, but there's also just some reflection questions. And then there's also something called Scripture Crunching, which we teach in preacher's training. The idea is choosing to engage and look deeper than the surface. The second thing is memorization. Memorization is simply just picking a verse or a passage that's meaningful to you. Maybe it's a promise from God, or maybe it's just a favorite verse or something, and it's choosing to think about it and reflect on it. Maybe you write it down on a card. Maybe you put it as your phone wallpaper. In fact, that image I did on Friday in 5 minutes, just using the YouVersion Bible app. I clicked the verse, I clicked image, put a nice background on it, just moved the words around slightly, and was done. I could put that as my phone wallpaper so that I could see it throughout the day. And every time I open my phone, I'm reminded of this scripture. And then all it is taking a couple of times throughout the day to start repeating it to yourself, to start memorizing it, going over it again and again and again. Maybe if you want a challenge, go for Psalm 1. It's short enough that it's easily memorized, and it's a beautiful piece of scripture to just reflect on and to consider. See, it's not that big. And I want to just encourage you, this may be something that you've tried before and it hasn't gone well. Give it another try. See what it looks like. And so my last thing is, so what are you going to do about it? What are you practically going to do after today? Maybe you're going to start a habit of going deeper by studying the Bible or memorizing Scripture. Maybe you're going to just give yourself a challenge. You know what? Once a week, I want to try and memorize one verse. Great. It's about just starting and giving it a go. Or maybe for you to engage with the text a little bit more, maybe it's about joining a home group, actually studying the Bible as part of community and in the context of life. If that's you, I'd love to have a conversation with you or fill in a connect form. Let me know, because I'd love to connect you into a home group. Or maybe it's just choosing to memorize a verse or a passage. Maybe you've never done that before and you go, I just want to do it with one thing. What is your next step? What are you going to do about it? I want to encourage everybody to take one step with this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to just say thank you for Scripture. Lord, I want to say thank you that it is more than just wisdom that somebody has put together in a book. But Lord, it is from you, and it is truth. And you've given it to us for a purpose, to train us, to equip us, to form us. And Lord, even though it can be uncomfortable when it reveals things that we don't want revealed, you also use that to grow us and shape us and form us. Lord, you've given us Scripture for life, to be able to share with others, to be able to encourage others. And so, Holy Spirit, I know that sometimes with something like this, there is guilt there. I know I should be doing more. I know I should be engaging with this. Lord, help us not to look at that from a perspective of guilt, but instead to see it for the joy and the gift that you are giving us. Lord, watch over us, we pray, and just help us to engage with your word more. All these things we pray in your name. Amen.